confess our sins, you are faithful and will forgive them. And so we just thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And we thank you that you will also hear our prayers and speak to us, that you're not silent, and that you will speak to us through your word, through the preaching of the word, and through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're just in awe of that, and we thank you for that, and ask that you would do that today, that you would speak to us through your word. And we pray this now in Jesus' great name. Amen. An old Bob Dylan song that said, you're going to have to serve somebody. Anybody know that song? You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Listen, this morning I want to start out with getting you to think about this. You're going to have to believe in something. Everybody believes in something. Everybody does. Do you know there's a definition of a worldview as a set of beliefs about the most important issues in life? Everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a set of beliefs about the most important issues in life. And you really can see it during a political season, can't you? We're not going to talk about politics today, but you can really hear all of that when you hear the set of beliefs that are important to people and what they're about and what they're talking about and what their discussions are like. But everybody you know, including yourself, has a set of beliefs about the most important issues in life. And you just say something like Minnesota Vikings or Green Bay Packers, and you'll hear people's opinions about something, right? You'll say Democrat, Republican. You'll hear people's opinions about things. Anything you throw out there, people will have a set of beliefs in which they run that through their grid and have an opinion about it. So we're all going to believe in something. We're all going to have a set of beliefs. And we actually all have a God, little g, in our life as well. So two definitions that I want you to maybe take with you today. One is the definition of a worldview, a set of beliefs about the most important issues in life. Everybody has a set of beliefs about whatever issues are important to them. And then this definition of God, little g, whatever is the object of your ultimate concern. Whatever is the object of your ultimate concern, I got to give Jim Nash credit for that, who wrote a book called Worldviews in Conflict. And this is where some of these definitions come from. But I've liked them over the years and held on to them over the years. Whatever is the object of your ultimate concern, that becomes your God. And sometimes it can be your own opinion. Sometimes it can be pleasure. Sometimes it can be yourself. Sometimes it's politics. Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's nature and the world. I mean, you just fill in the blank of what you see people have as the object of their ultimate concern. And you ask yourself, what's the object of your ultimate concern? Is it the God of the universe? Is he the object of your ultimate concern? Is Jesus the object of your ultimate concern? Or is there something else? So keep those two definitions in mind as we look at our text today, because what you're going to see is kind of a clashing of thinking, clashing of worldview, clashing of truth. So the set of beliefs about the most important issues in life is I want to have the set of beliefs of what is true. I want to believe what is true, not something that's false. And what we're going to see today is this battle between Jesus talking about what is true and the religious leaders of the day going, I don't know if I believe that to be true. And there's going to be this clash. And we're going to see kind of how it develops and how it unfolds. But as we do it, I want you to wrestle with your own answer to those questions. What's the object of ultimate concern for you? What are the set of beliefs about the most important issues in life that you're listening to? Are they the truth? Or are they something else? All right? And we're going to find out what they are because there's only two options. There's truth and lie. So let's dive into the text, and we're going to take it a section at a time. And I'm going to read the section, and then we're going to kind of talk about it. And I hope as we go along, you'll see the argument that's being made here, and you'll see how Jesus is responding. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, this is verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me say it again. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone, which is kind of crazy because they were under Roman rule and Roman authority. They had been enslaved in Egypt hundreds of years earlier. But they said, we are offsprings of Abraham and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, but you do what you have heard from your father." So he just starts out by saying, listen, what this is about is abiding in my word, believing in my teachings, hearing what I'm saying and abiding in it and accepting it and believing it. And when you do that, when you abide in my word, when you hear my word about who I am and what I'm about, and you accept that and you internalize that and you say that is what truth is, he says, then you're truly my disciples. So this whole time he's been arguing with all of the book of John about who he is and that he's been sent by God and he knows God. And he says, if you abide by that, if you believe in that, if you hold to that, then you're truly my disciple. If you do that, then you will know the truth about who I am, Jesus is saying, the truth about who God is, and the truth about salvation. He says, if you abide in my word, if you accept it and hold on to it, you're going to know the truth, and you're going to know the truth about who I am, who God is, and salvation, and guess what? That truth is going to set you free. If you don't remember anything else in this message today, that's the part, that's my alarm going off. Goodness. All right. I'm supposed to be done preaching already. I don't know. I think my wife must have set that one. He says, if you abide, then you're going to be set free. See, one of the things I hope that you'll take away from here today is that abiding by the truth, knowing who Christ is, and knowing about God, and knowing salvation, and knowing what God's design is for us, it will set us free. It's not bondage. Sometimes in the Christian faith, we feel like these things are bondage because they're putting parameters around us, and actually, they put parameters around us that set us free. That's why I called this bondage to the truth sets you free. And the truth will set you free, but free from what? That's the question. What is it setting us free from? And Jesus says it'll set you free from sin. Because sin is what enslaves us. Sin is what controls us. And he says, you need to move from being a slave to being a son or daughter. That's the beauty of the gospel, is we go from being a slave to sin, where it controls us and it owns us, to moving from that to being a son or daughter of God. I always say I'm a preacher of good news because that's some pretty awesome news, from being a slave and in bondage and controlled by sin to now being able to being sons and daughters of God Almighty. Because when you move from being a slave to sin and become a son or daughter and the Son sets you free, you're free. Nothing can enslave you again. You are a son or daughter of God. No one can put you back into bondage. Now, sometimes we voluntarily go back into our sin, but it cannot enslave us. That's why sin becomes such a big deal now that I'm a follower of Jesus, because it's me voluntarily going back over here. It can't drag me back over. It doesn't control me. I voluntarily go there. But I want you to hear the good news this morning, that it doesn't control us anymore. We're not enslaved to it anymore when we've come to Christ by faith. In fact, James tells us that if we resist the devil, what will he do? You fill in the blank. What is it? He'll flee from us. So every time I go back into sin, it's me walking myself back there. Because if I had resisted, the enemy would flee. Because I'm no longer enslaved by sin. I've been freed from sin, and now I'm a child of God. Do you know this morning that you're a child of God? Do you believe that? Do you hold on to that? It's good news this morning. He says, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know truth, and that truth will set you free. But they answered him, and here's this big transition now. Jesus is telling them that their father is the devil. And this is a pretty strong conversation that's going on here. And in verse 9, they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth. I'm telling you the truth of what I heard from God. And this isn't what Abraham did. He didn't try to kill. You are doing the works your father did. And they said to him, we're not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. So they've gone from saying, Abraham is our father. We're born from the lineage of Abraham. That makes us Jewish. And yet, then they're jumping to, that makes God our father. And Jesus is trying to say, if God were your father, you would be listening to me. So they claim to be children of Abraham. But Jesus points out, now listen, this is important, so come back to me if you've lost me here. Jesus points out that if they were, they would do the works of Abraham. So they claim to be the children of Abraham, and Jesus says, if you were, you would do the works of Abraham. What were the works of Abraham? He believed God. Abraham's works were faith. Listen to Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So he's saying, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. And what Abraham did was he had faith. He believed when God said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Abraham believed him. It was faith. And God says it several times in the New Testament that what Abraham did was belief, faith. Now get this, just track with me here for a second. Now, we have to use logical sequence as we look at all of this. Abraham believed. You're not doing the works of Abraham. Instead, they wanted to murder somebody. Can you see just the radical swing here? You want to murder me, Jesus is saying. How can that be you listening to God? They claim to be children of Abraham, and yet they don't do the works of Abraham. They want to murder someone. And think about this, murder. It doesn't even seem to faze them that they are considering this horrendous thought. Taking the life of someone created in the image of God, and in this case, the one who is the Son of God, and they have gotten so twisted and so turned from God that they're following the devil, and they actually want to kill this man. Do you see how twisted all of this has become? We're children of Abraham. God is our father. Oh, by the way, we want to kill you. This is just so off, right? But they've gotten so twisted and believed what? Believed a lie. They have so twisted and could not see truth that they were looking at lie and believing lie to be true. Problem that's been around since Adam and Eve. A problem that we face fully today. Making a lie truth and truth a lie. And Jesus is pointing it out in no uncertain terms. I'm sorry, guys. Abraham is not your father. Because if Abraham were your father, you would believe. Whose father is your father if you're thinking about killing me? Jesus said to them now, and he says in verse 42, he shifts. He said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I'm here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? And then he tells them why. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. He's saying, this is important. If God is your spiritual father, you will love Jesus. This is the exclusive claim of the gospel. If people say they love God but don't love Jesus, then they really don't love God. Why does this matter? Because Jesus says it's God who sent me. I didn't just come here on my own. I came on God's behalf. He sent me. And he says, you don't understand because you cannot bear to hear my word because it's so different from what you believed. And this is where we get into my introduction about the belief of truth and lie and worldview and how we see things. Because it was so foreign to how they had now come to see things that they couldn't accept it. So you don't understand because you can't bear to hear the words that I'm saying because you have constructed a worldview, you have constructed a faith system, you have constructed a way of thinking that has gotten to the place that you can't hear when God is speaking to you. In fact, they've gotten so rigid that they were willing to kill him, right? So he said, if God were your father, you would be loving me. And he's saying, God sent me to you, and you're not hearing me. And you don't understand because you can't bear to hear something other than what you thought. Listen, it is so difficult, and I hope you come back to me here for a moment. It is so difficult for us in our pride to accept that we might have believed something that wasn't true or that we were incorrect. It's really hard for us. It's really hard for us to stop and go, maybe I didn't understand this correctly. What's happening here with the Pharisees and religious leaders isn't something that's really foreign to us. I have a way of thinking, a belief system, and something is challenging that. And I'm like, you know, I cannot accept that I might be wrong on this. Whatever it might be, our pride keeps us from being able to say, maybe I'm not understanding this correctly. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you walk with enough humility to be open to the idea that you might be wrong? Maybe I should ask your spouse that, if you're married, or your kids that. Let me just think about it for a second. Do you walk with enough humility to be open to the idea that you might be wrong? Listen, if you really want to know truth, then you have to be able to take information and ideas and process it through the Word of God so that you're thinking what is true and right and correct. Now, right up now, some of you are thinking that I'm saying, let's take Christian doctrine and analyze it and critique it. That's not what I'm really trying to get at. I think it can withstand any kind of critique. I'm talking more to those of you who might be saying, I don't know if I really have a belief system. I don't know if I've really put my faith in the Bible because I just think it's too unreliable. And I just want to encourage you to ask yourself, is my worldview, my perspective correct? Could I be wrong? And then if you're talking about the Bible, we should be able to withstand and have conversations about disagreements and different understandings of things. But at the end of the day, I'm going to stand firmly on the truth of the doctrine of the Bible. Does that make sense? I don't want to come across wishy-washy here this morning. I'm trying to kind of get both sides of this for us to think about. Am I open? Have there been things away from faith, away from doctrine, in which I've been so rigid that I'm not humble enough to see that I might misunderstand things? But maybe you have put your stake in the ground in something that's not biblical, and you're not willing to say, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I've misunderstood this, and go back to the Bible and let the Bible change how you think and process things. Because then what's happening here is Jesus has a really strong message right about now. So the leaders of the day are telling him that we don't think you're from God. He's saying, I am from God. And you want to kill me, so that changes how I understand who you are. This is what Jesus says in verse 44. These are the words of Jesus. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. Can you imagine? He's standing there looking at the religious leaders of the day and said, you're from the devil. How do I know? Because he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. That's why lie and error is such a big deal, because it comes from the devil. He's a murderer, and he doesn't stand on the truth, and there's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. You're listening to the father of lies, and I'm telling you the truth, and you don't want to hear it. And he says, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? And then he says this powerful thing in verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Saying, why are they of the devil? Because they're murderers like the devil, and because they don't stand in the truth like the devil. And there's no truth in him. He's the liar. Now here's the thing. Listen carefully. Everything that is contrary to who God is and everything that is contrary to what God says is a lie. And we believe a lot of lies, don't we? Let me say that again. Everything that is contrary to who God is and who he says he is, and everything that's contrary to what he says in his word is a lie. And it comes from the father of lies. And we tend to believe a lot of lies. Let me ask you this question this morning, and I hope you'll take a moment to think about it, because I'm going to pause for a moment and hope that you'll think about it. What lies do you believe? I hope you'll take that home with you and let the Holy Spirit speak to you today and this week. What lies do you believe? And then what keeps you from believing the truth? We all have those things where we look at the Bible and we're like, man, that's really hard. I don't know. That's a high standard. What keeps you from believing the truth and just saying, this is the truth, even when it's hard, even when I don't fully understand it? That's another one. If I don't fully understand it, then I think, well, maybe I don't have to accept it. What keeps you from believing the truth? Listen, those who are of God, this passage tells us, those who are of God hears the word and loves them and treasures them because they're the words of God. Here's the thing. Those who are of God, Jesus is saying in this section here, are going to love the word. Those who are of God want to hear everything he has to say and go, whoa, yeah, I want to do it like that. I want to think like that. I want to believe like that. Those who are of God don't look at the words of God and shy away from them and go, oh, give me more because I love the word of God. I want it to correct me. I want to follow it because it's better than mine. And it's better than the lies that I sometimes listen to. I just love that part. Whoever hears the words of God and loves them and desires them, those are my children. Those are my people, he's saying. And now he gets into this other section that I'm going to call the mic drop section, because then he starts like this. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan, have a demon? Now get this, just again, follow what's been happening. I'm from God. We're children of Abraham. We're children of God. We want to kill you. You're not from God because you want to kill me. And now they're saying what the Son of God, the Son of the living God, is standing there speaking to them, and they're saying, you have a demon. They now commit one of the greatest sins, some say the ultimate sin, that they are attributing the work of Jesus to being demon-possessed. They're calling the work of God the work of Satan. This is a profoundly serious little verse right here. They look at the work of God. They look at the Son of God. And they believe a lie from the devil that says, you're from the devil. It's a serious moment in biblical story. The religious leaders of the day, the ones who were supposed to be leading the people, look at Jesus and say he's from the devil. And Jesus answered them, verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. You dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There's one who's going to seek it, and he's going to judge. Jesus says that he honors the Father, and they dishonor him, which means they actually are dishonoring the Father. And Jesus says that he honors the Father, but the Father will take care of glorifying me. I'm not even going to show you all of my power and glory right here, right now. He could have just breathed on them and they would have been done, right? Because my Father will do that. But you're dishonoring the Father that you say you honor because you're dishonoring me, Jesus. And then he says, truly, truly, anytime Jesus says that, he's like, listen up, listen up. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Those who believe in Jesus and honor him and accept what he's saying will never taste spiritual death, will spiritually be able to live forever. And the Jews said to him, verse 52, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, so did the prophets, and yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Do you see the opposition? They're simply arguing back. Listen, Abraham died. All the great prophets died. Who are you? And then Jesus finishes up, and he's still going back and forth with him. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. He says, listen, I don't have to defend myself. I'm not going to show you my glory, because I could right now open up the heavens and you could see all of my glory. I'm not going to do that. My Father, who you say you believe in, he's going to glorify me. And we know now that that'll happen when he's raised from the dead. But he says, you have not known him, saying you don't know God. I know him, Jesus says, for if I were to say that I did not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him. And he said, and the God, here goes back to my original beginning, introduction. The God who they thought they knew, they didn't know. And he's saying, that's why I've come, because you didn't understand. You looked at the law, and you looked at our history as a nation, and you totally misunderstood who God was. That's why I'm here. I came down to show you. And I know him because I've come from him, and I came from him to make him known to you. Remember in our previous passages, if you've been with us for a while, Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. I make him known to you. And he's saying, I have come here so that you can know him, because you have misunderstood him. You did not know him correctly. So that's why I'm here. And if I said I didn't know him, I'd be lying. And I'm not going to lie, so you don't like it, but I'm telling you that I know him and I come from him. And now they're still arguing from a logical standpoint, and they say, your father Abraham, or Jesus, no, I'm sorry, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. He was saying, Abraham's whole thing was focused upon this day. And the Jews said to him, you're not yet even 50. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said, and here's the mic drop, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And after he said that, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus disappeared because it wasn't his time yet. He's saying Abraham would have rejoiced. He longed to see this day. And when Abraham's descendants came to Moses, and Moses is out in the wilderness in Acts chapter 3, God says to Moses, and this is the mic drop of what Jesus just did. He says, I am who I am. This is God speaking to Moses. And he said, when you go back to the Israelites, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent you. I am. That was the name God gave himself. And when Jesus is standing there in front of the religious leaders, and he says, before Abraham was, I am, they know exactly what he was talking about. It might be new for us, but they know exactly that he was pointing back to Exodus chapter 3, and that sent them into a rage. That was the mic drop, the final scene where Jesus says, listen, I am God. And that was it. They're picking up stones. They're ready to kill him. It wasn't his time yet, so Jesus just walks away. Jesus is clearly identifying not only that he came from God, but that he was God. And for the religious leaders, there was no longer any doubt. They knew exactly what he was claiming, equality with God. Now, there are three options when Jesus stands there and says, I am God. There are really only three options. Really only two for the religious leaders, but three options for people who heard him. One was to believe, and there were many who did. They heard him and said, wow, God has sent his son, and he's here. You could have ignored him, and there were many that did that, or you could deny who he is and then desire to kill him, which is ultimate, because in their minds, this was the ultimate of human blasphemy to say that one was God. And so from here on out, we're rushing to the cross, because they're looking for more and more ways to kill him. So you can believe, you can ignore, or you can deny. And everything in John now is going to keep moving us to the cross. What do I hope to see come from this message this morning for you? I call it my pastoral burden as I work on these messages. What is my burden from the word that I want you to take with you today? The first one is that you would know the truth and that the truth would set you free. That you'd be set free by the truth. That if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I want you to have a passion for the truth. I want you to have a worldview, a set of beliefs about the world, and a set of beliefs about who God is that is from the truth, that you would take the error out. And I'm constantly wanting to take the error out of my thinking and replace it with truth. I want you to have a passion for the truth, and I want to be a church that has a passion for the truth, but with a purpose, that you might know the truth, not just to lord it over everybody and say, I know the truth, but that you would know the truth and be set free by the truth. The good news of the gospel is for people to be set free. I'm looking for a lot of people being free, free from sin, and free to see the world as God sees the world, and to see the goodness of God and his design, and then to live free from the lies that tell us these things are better. The devil tells us these things are better, and they're opposite of what God says. And God said, I want to set you free so that you can live in my design. Free to follow God, his design for life, the way he designed it to be. That's my prayer for you today, that you would, by abiding in his word and being his disciple, you would know the truth, and the truth would set you free, so you don't have to walk around going, man, what, I got to figure this out all over again. I'm going to tell you what, there's one thing I'm walking around with unwavering confidence, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's the only way to the Father, and I believe and I pray and I hope that I'd be willing to die for that. That's an unwavering truth. I'm hoping that you'll be passionate for all truth and to know truth and see how truth will set you free from bondage to sin, the things that are destroying you and being destructive in your life. I've seen a lot of years of ministry. I've seen a lot of people's choices destroying themselves and others, and they're always choices of sin. They're not destroying themselves by choosing to follow God. They destroy themselves by choosing to follow sin. And I want to tell you, there is freedom. Freedom to follow Jesus, to know the truth, and it'll set you free. My other pastoral burden today is that you would not believe the lies, those things that are contrary to God's will and word. They destroy you. I hope that you will not believe them, that when you see them, you'll grab them and go, that's a lie. I'm going to have the Holy Spirit conquer that. My passion this morning is that you would grow in your desire to lead others from believing lies to the truth that'll set them free. You got friends and family and neighbors and coworkers and classmates that are just destroying themselves. And I want you to come alongside and go, listen, man, get out of the pit of that lie. I got some truth for you, some truth that'll set you free. Glorious truth, forgiveness, deliverance, freedom from slavery to sin. That's what I'm hoping you'll do this week. And finally, that you would know that Jesus is God and we should glorify him. That you would orientate your life around bringing glory to Christ. That you would walk away from this message and say, I've got some things that I got to shift so that I can orientate my life to making much of Jesus, because God sent him for us to make much of him. So those are the four passions I had, four burdens I had, and here's just some practical applications. Be people of the word. And when the Bible conflicts with your thinking, change your thinking to be in line with the Bible. When the Bible conflicts with cultural beliefs and norms, believe and practice what the Bible says, because that's truth. Be people of the word, people of truth. I'm going to invite you to pray and ask God to give you opportunities to share the truth of Jesus with those who are believing lies. Sometimes we don't get opportunities because we're not even praying for it. Pray. Ask God to give you an opportunity to help bring somebody from lie to truth. And pray that you would know Jesus more personally and that he would help you to order your life around glorifying him. Listen, truth, the truth of Jesus, is what will bring freedom. Freedom from what? You fill in the blank. What is it that you're in bondage to? I invite you to freedom. The freedom of the truth of Jesus. Freedom of the truth of his word. It'll set you free for all of eternity. Isn't that good news? I'm going to invite you to just bow your heads for a moment. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you while I introduce communion. how we close our services. We typically take communion, and if you have put your faith in Jesus and you're his disciple, and you know that his body was broken for you and his blood was shed for you, and you put your faith in that, we invite you to take communion. We'll also take an offering, and just want to remind you that we use those to do the work of proclaiming the gospel and the good news of Jesus. So as you give generously, I pray that you'd be encouraged that your resources are going to proclaim Jesus in this community and around the world. Listen to what the Lord's saying to you, and then we invite you to participate in both of those things as we close.